This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
The date is 1890. The European settlement at Fort Salisbury is not 2 months old, and the rains have set in. Day after day, the grey clouds pour water onto the sodden earth. Men living in grass shelters or under canvas eat and sleep in mud, their clothes constantly soaked, and fever attacking their weakened bodies. No wagons can get through. The food situation becomes critical. By the end of November, there is practically no salt, sugar, candles or matches. And still the rain falls, 63 inches in just over 2 months. Those at Fort Salisbury who are to survive this terrible time will never forget, as long as they live, the name of a certain Dr. Richard Frank Rand and his medicine, known to all as Rand's Kicker.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
Frank Rand was born in England. He was a brilliant medical student who spent a short time in Jamaica after qualifying. Stirred by gold discoveries in the Transvaal, he left the West Indies for South Africa, arriving in Cape Town in 1889. He was practicing in Johannesburg when he was invited by Cecil Rhodes to join the expedition to occupy Mashonaland. Soon after the pioneer column's arrival in Mashonaland, Major Forbes was dispatched with a small group of British South Africa Company police to the eastern border to keep an eye on things. Dr. Rand went with this force and was involved in a typically courageous incident. Two troopers, Glover and Matthews of B Troop, were on duty at an outpost near Massaques on the Portuguese East African border. Both of them went down with malaria.
Tom? Tom, can you hear me? Tom, speak to me, Tom.
Well,
help will come, Tom. Don't give up. Someone will find us, I promise you. Tom. 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 He's dead. He's dead and I'm alone. Oh, dear God, help me.
Trooper Matthews died on March the 17th. Glover couldn't lift himself from his bed, and the next few days and nights passed in a cloud of fever. Then one day, his groans attracted the attention of a passing African. The man agreed to carry a shakily written note to the nearby settlement of Umtali.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, sir?
One of the locals just brought this note into camp. Thought you ought to see it.
Thank you, sir. Matthews and Glover are in trouble, apparently. Where exactly were they stationed?
Down near Fort Massaques.
All right. Go and find Trooper O'Hara and be ready to leave in half an hour.
Very good, sir.
Oh, and Sergeant, get hold of some brandy and some quinine. We'll need it.
Lieutenant the Honorable Eustace Finnis, Sergeant Paxton and Trooper O'Hara set out in torrential rain, taking with them a small bottle of powdered quinine and some brandy. They struggled down slippery mountain paths and across streams which had now become raging torrents. Then they reached the Review River, which was raging like a miniature sea.
Doesn't look too good, does it?
Looks like the end of the line, sir. We'll never get across without a rope.
The note said they needed help urgently.
I think there's a mining camp further upstream. I'll go and see if they've got a rope.
How long will that take?
2 or 3 hours, I should think.
It'll be dark by then. No, we can't wait. I go across now.
You can't, sir. You wouldn't have a chance in that lot.
I've always prided myself as being a bit of a swimmer. Well, now I've got the chance to prove it.
Well, then, I'll come with you.
No, Sergeant. You go on to that mining camp, get some rope, and see what other help you can find. You might even find Dr. Rand there.
Very good, sir. And good luck.
Lieutenant Finnis waded into the river and began to swim. It must have taken immense courage to brave that torrent. He was, in fact, carried half a mile downstream and nearly drowned in some reeds before he reached the far bank. From there, he carried on to Massachusetts, where he found Glover, by some miracle, still alive. The trooper had lain helpless with no company but a dead man for a week. The following day, further help arrived.
Hello there! Lieutenant Finnish!
Hello!
What's the melt?
And am I glad to see you.
Oh, I got Rope, two prospectors, and Dr. Rand.
Good morning, Lieutenant.
Morning. How are the patients? Matthews is dead. Has been for some time. Love is still alive, which is a miracle.
Let me have a look.
He's very weak. What do we do now?
I'd like to get him back to Umtali as soon as possible, but obviously he can't walk.
What about the rain? Get stuck to the skin in no time.
Well, we can wait a day or so, see if the rain eases up, but then we must go.
Right. I'll get the men making a stretcher.
And what about the river? We can't wait for it to go down.
If we construct a solid stretcher out of poles, then we can use it as a raft and float him across.
And that is what they did. They carried Trooper Glover on the roughly constructed stretcher to the river. Once there, they tied the sick man securely to the frail craft. Lieutenant Finnis and Trooper O'Hara swam ahead, holding the rope which pulled the raft, and the other men, including Dr. Rand, swam on either side, keeping the raft steady. It must have been a nightmare journey. When they reached the other side of the river, the raft once more became a litter, and staggering and slipping, they carried the sick man back up the slippery paths to Umtali. Surprisingly, Trooper Glover did not die. In fact, he survived to celebrate his 91st birthday, a tribute to Dr. Rand's medical skill. Shortly after this incident, Dr. Rand returned to Fort Salisbury, where he worked as hospital and police surgeon. Writing in 1922, a pioneer described conditions in that first hospital in Salisbury.
The hospital was then situated to the south of what is now Cecil Square. It consisted of a number of pole and dugger huts without windows and a blanket or material to each hut hanging down as a door. Our beds were made of four sticks planted in the ground, two long poles with native timber, string made of bark placed across. An orderly attended us, but his nursing was of the roughest kind. There were three beds in each hut. He never helped us make them up. In fact, we were so weak we couldn't make the beds ourselves. The medicine we got was known as Rand's Kicker. It was a quinine mixture of the most awful taste, and nothing nice was given you afterwards to take the taste away. And the taste was a most lingering one. 2 days before I left, Mother Patrick and her staff of Dominican sisters arrived to take over the nursing duties at the hospital. What a change for us. I shall never forget the excellent beef tea we were given, and the great difference the appearance of these women made in our lives.
Mother Patrick was one of those who volunteered to accompany the pioneer column on its march to Mashonaland. But Cecil Rhodes had considered it too dangerous. So the sisters remained at Maklutsi camp until the following year. It was the 27th of July, 1891, when they arrived at Fort Salisbury. And Mother Patrick wrote in her diary,
"Through Major Forbes' kindness, lunch was prepared for us in the officers' mess room, and one after the other of our old Maklutsi friends came to greet us. Dr. Rand, Captain Nesbitt, Canon Balfour, etc., all of whom were glad to see, but each face bore traces of the exposure and hardship it had undergone, especially poor Dr. Rand's, whose looks were anxious and careworn. He expressed himself delighted to have our help again, and the feeling was mutual, for we were longing to begin work, and we were thoroughly tired of our long and tedious trip by wagon. We arrived in Salisbury on 27th July, and on the 1st August we began our work at the hospital. The latter consisted of three large huts, a marquee, and some tents. One hut was used as a kitchen, one a dispensary, and one with the marquee and tents for the patients. The whole place was sadly neglected, and the accommodation for the sick was truly pitiful. When we first came, there were 12 patients in hospital, but Dr. Rand told us that he had 30 constantly during the past fever season.
Dr. Rand will always be remembered for his fever medicine, known as Rand's Kicker. When asked once how he got its name, he replied,
"Well, it was either because the people kicked so much against the swallowing of it, or that it kicked the fever out of them."
The prescription was very simple.
I was given charge of those official supplies of alcohol which reached the country. Beyond a few cases of brandy and champagne kept for medical emergencies in the hospital, the early supplies were all dop. This dop, it was my practice to commandeer, and into each barrel my supplies of quinine were regularly tipped. This, with a little garnishing, constituted the strange beverage known as Kicker. It was with this crude medication, perhaps, that the battle against malaria was fought in those early days.
Dr. Rand practiced from a hut in Pioneer Street, not far from Strawn's, the first chemist shop. The doctor visited his patients, including those out of town, on horseback. The noted Rhodesian newspaper man, Hugh Marshall Hole, wrote of a typical experience.
One day, Rand received a message asking him to visit a patient at Missouri. He saddled his horse and set off with his surgical bag. When he reached the Greeby River, which he found in flood, he came to a halt. He decided the easiest way to cross was to swim whilst he held onto the horse's tail. He accordingly disrobed, made a bundle of his clothes and surgical bag, tying them onto the saddle. All went well. Horse and rider reached the opposite bank safely. Here, the bank was steep and slippery, and the horse negotiated it much quicker than Rand, and was soon trotting on ahead, the doctor running behind, clad only in a hat. After a while, one boot fell off, and then another. Pausing only to retrieve and don his boots, Dr. Rand hurried after his horse. Finally, they arrived at Missouri. Dr. Rand, still a little behind his horse, still wearing only boots and hat.
For Dr. Rand, life was not always so amusing. In fact, one of the most tragic incidents of his career was to occur during the following year. What is known as Crinker's Party flicked the Mashonaland from the Transvaal in 1891. It was called Crinker's Party because it was led by Mr. and Mrs. Crinker and their 10 children. The journey took about 6 months, and they arrived at Fort Salisbury on the 25th of October, 1891. The children of the party excited considerable interest among the earlier settlers, who hadn't seen such a number of women and children together since they'd left civilization.
Tilly, go with your brother and fetch some water. I'll make some coffee.
Yes, Mother.
Hurry now while I feed the little ones.
All right, Mother.
You take that can, Walter. I'll carry the other one.
Yeah, that looks like clear water over there.
Yes. Oh, look, Walter. Ducks. Aren't they lovely?
Wish I'd got my gun.
It seems funny to think we're actually here. I mean, really in Mashonaland. That we won't be loading the wagon again tomorrow.
It's not much of a place.
No, it's not much of a place now, but it will be. Remember all those people we saw on the way up? All those wagons? They're all coming here. They'll build houses and streets and shops and...
Ah, stop, Daedricus. We're supposed to be fetching water.
All right, I'm coming.
There you are. Is that can's full? Give me yours.
Yeah. You know, there may not be much here. I mean, there aren't any proper houses, and it's all dry and a bit bare. But it is beautiful.
Yeah. Your can's full. Let's go back to the wagons.
There's a man over there. Oh. He's looking at us.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. He looks rather nice.
Yeah.
Sort of kind and friendly.
Hello.
Hello.
You're new, aren't you?
Yes, we arrived today.
Today? Well, welcome to Fort Salisbury. My name's Dr. Rand.
I'm Ottilia Crinker, and this is my brother, Walter.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
We're fetching water for my mother.
So I see. Here, let me carry that can for you. I'd like to meet your mother.
Thank you.
And where have you come from?
The Transvaal.
Just you and your brother and your mother and father?
Oh, no. There are 10 of us. 10 children, I mean.
Oh, that'll cause a stir. We haven't had a big family like yours in Fort Salisbury before. Do you think you'll like it here?
Why, of course, it's all so new. Curtis says it's not much of a place.
Oh, Artelia, you shouldn't...
It's quite right. It isn't yet.
I think it's beautiful. And I think... Do you know what I think? It's like a little baby now. When it grows up, it will be very beautiful.
Well, you will be able to grow up with it. So you'll see whether you're right.
Yes.
Did you have any trouble on the journey?
No.
But it was all so exciting. And we saw ever so many wagons on the way. We were going very slowly, so most of them passed us.
There were about 50 or 60 big wagons at Fort Tully. I've never seen so many altogether.
Those will have belonged to the British South Africa Company. They're bringing supplies up before the rains set in. We don't want another wet season like last year.
Was it bad?
Things were difficult, yes, but they'll be better this year.
There are so many people on their way here. We saw carts and wagons and people riding on donkeys.
Some were even walking, carrying all their belongings on their backs.
We saw some wonderful wagons, all fitted out so beautifully. They must have cost a great deal of money. Someone said that they belonged to Lord Randolph Churchill.
We didn't see any lions, though.
I'm glad we
didn't. But we heard them roaring in the night, sometimes very close. And the hyenas were awful. I think they must be hungry because once they even attacked the oxen on the road.
I was afraid they might come into the tents at night. I don't like hyenas.
We picked up a post bag on the banks of the Nantetsi.
It must have fallen off the postcard. We gave it to the next driver we saw. You know, I think an awful lot of letters must get lost because they don't really seem to notice when they drop a bag.
I think that they're so much trouble that they're glad to be able to get the carts through without worrying about the ones that fall off.
That's our wagon. Come and meet my mother. Mother! Mother, we've got someone to meet you.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good day. I'm Dr. Rand. I met your children down by the pool, and I thought I'd take the opportunity of introducing myself.
I hope the children didn't bother you.
Oh, no, no, no.
Whatever is all that shouting about?
I think that the men have flushed something out of the long grass at the top of the camp.
Yes, look, Mother, there it goes.
It's coming this way. I'm going to get my gun.
It's a reedbuck.
I hope it gets away. I do hope it gets away.
Yes, well, I doubt if they'll catch it now. It's making for the hill, you see?
Tilly, go and put on some water. What coffee? I'm sure the doctor would like a cup.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Krinker, but I must be getting back to the hospital now.
Did the buck get away?
Yes.
Artelia, while you're putting water on you, you'd better feed the cats, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Cats?
Yes, I hope you don't think it was stupid to bring them, but they belong to Artelia and she begs so hard.
At one place on the way up there, a woman offered £5 for one of them, but Artelia wouldn't part with them.
Of course not.
Well, as far as I know, there aren't any cats at all in the camp. But there are plenty of rats and mice. In fact, when your cat has kittens, Artelia, I'd like one for the hospital. The rats are a great nuisance there.
No other cats? Fancy mine are the first two in Fort Salisbury. Now, I'll run along, Artelia, and you too, Walter.
All right,
yes, Mother.
I must go too. I have work to do at the hospital.
Before you go, Doctor, there's something I'd like to ask you.
Yes?
Is there much fever here? We saw a great many graves on the journey. It seemed that...
Yes. Last summer it was very bad. But with the cold weather, it is better.
But now the summer is coming again.
All we can do is pray.
The Krinker family moved to the pioneer farm, Stone Ridge, about 10 miles southeast of Salisbury. Summer came, and it was a time of suffering and hardship for them. There was a great deal of sickness. Christmas 1891 was more a time to be lived through than a season of celebration. The days passed, and things did not improve. By the middle of February, every member of the family except Mrs. Krinker was down with fever. Three were critically ill. Day and night Mrs. Krinker toiled, tending and nursing 11 sick people.
Mother? Mother?
I'm here, Walter. You'll wake the others.
What time is it?
About 4 o'clock. It will be light soon.
I'm so thirsty.
I'll give you some water.
How is Artelia?
Here you are. Drink this. Slowly, slowly, not too fast. It isn't good for you.
she'll be all right. She's... won't she?
She's very ill, Walt.
Cannot Dr. Rand help her?
He was here earlier. He gave us some medicine.
What did he say?
There was nothing more he could do. Nothing more.
But there must be something. Why did he go away? Why did he not stay with her?
Because there are many other people sick. Delia is not the only one. Dr. Rand has so many patients to care for.
She's my sister. She cannot... She must get better.
Yes, Walter. Now, lay still and try to sleep. Yes, I'm coming. I'm coming.
My foot.
What is it?
My
hand. Yes, but...
What? I'm so
hot. I'll wipe your face. There.
It hurts. No, God, the cats
are here on your bed. They're looking after you.
The first cats in Salisbury. Oh, my head.
Here's some water.
So hot.
Julia, look after. Julia?
What is it?
Go back to bed, Walter. You'll catch cold.
Mother? She's dead, isn't she? My sister's dead.
Ottilia Crinkle was the first child to die in Fort Salisbury, and she was buried at a spot near the homestead. All the children who were not too ill accompanied the sad procession. Then, that afternoon, a wagon rolled up.
Mrs. Crinker, I'm so very sorry that I wasn't able to be here this morning.
Oh, I understand, Doctor. You have so much to do.
How are the other children?
Still very sick, but I think they're over the worst.
And you're still alone here?
Yes.
This morning I was speaking to Dr. Jamieson. He was shocked to hear about the little girl. He sends his deepest sympathy. And more than that, he asked me to bring you a few things.
I don't understand.
Food and medicine.
Oh, I can't accept.
It's not charity. When your husband is fit again, there are plenty of jobs he'll be asked to do. In the meantime, you need food.
For the children, yes, I accept. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's another thing I want to speak to you about. Dr. Jamieson feels, and I agree, that your whole family should move into the hospital. We can look after you there.
I couldn't look after them here.
But it would be easier in Salisbury. Another thing. At the moment, you're all right. What would happen if you were to get fever?
I never get ill.
There's something else I was going to ask you to do for me. Now, you know that Mrs. Curry is near her time.
The baby's due in about 2 weeks, I think.
Well, what I was going to suggest was that I take your family to the hospital and you move over and stay with Mrs. Curry.
Oh, but...
Babies aren't predictable, Mrs. Crinker. She'll need your help. Will you do it for me?
Very well, if that's what you want.
Good. I promise you won't regret it.
And so the Crinker family were moved into hospital, where they soon recovered under the care of Dr. Rand and the Dominican sisters. Meanwhile, Mrs. Crinker helped to deliver Mrs. Curry's baby. It was a girl, probably the first white girl child born in Salisbury. Dr. Rand died in 1937, and Hugh Marshall Hole, writing in the Rhodesia Herald a few days after his death, said,
"All Rhodesians will lament the loss to their ranks of Dr. Richard Frank Rand,
He was the senior medical officer of the chartered company's first police force and accompanied the Pioneer Column on its historic march from Macluzie to Mount Hampton in 1890 and afterwards remained in Salisbury in the dual position of medical officer to the company and resident surgeon at the earliest hospital in the territory. During the unprecedented rainy season which followed the occupation, Dr. Rand carried on single-handed the gallant fight without a thought for personal comfort. Besides attending to the hospital patients, he made constant visits on horseback in the most terrible conditions to all prospectors' camps within reach of Salisbury, and undoubtedly saved many lives by his unremitting efforts.
Of course, today, with Rhodesia's highly advanced state of medicine and the new teaching hospital being built in Salisbury, it's difficult to imagine what it must have been like in those early days. But certainly, none of it would have been possible without men like Dr. Richard Frank Rand.
Medical File. The documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.